From Directions Magazine, this is Directions on the News for Tuesday, August 26, 2014. Each week, this podcast looks at news and trends related to all things location. This is Adina Schutzberg, Executive Editor in Somerville, Massachusetts.
And this is Joe Francica, Editor-in-Chief in Huntsville, Alabama.
In July, a magazine called CIO Review published its 20 Most Promising GIS Solution Providers 2014. We'll tell you who they selected, but more importantly, we'll tell you why you should be aware of some of the lesser-known companies on the list. But first, a word from our sponsor.
Directions Magazine is the leader in geospatial technology webinars. If your organization is interested in more sales leads, stronger brand awareness, and positioning your company as a key thought leader, then let us help you deliver a professionally produced live event that reaches a global audience. For more information on both our 30 and 60-minute webinar formats, go to www.geospatialwebinars.com.
So let me jump right to the excitement of who made this top 20 list, and in something like alphabetical order, ESRI, Aegis Technologies, Ag Data, Evolve, BA3, Blackbridge, Caliper, Centagon Solutions, Cyclomedia, Galageo, Loquate, McMahon, Oculus, Pixia, Cubase, T4 Spatial, Tango Analytics, Tensing, Terrigo, and Trimble. And I'll admit from the start that I've heard of roughly half of those and know what they do. The other half were completely new to me. Let's first talk about the process that the magazine went through to find these 20. First, they put out a call for nominations, and this is from that call for nominations. In the process of selecting the 20 most promising GIS solution providers 2014, we will analyze the company's revenue, employee size, offerings, core competency, news/press releases, client testimonials, milestones, and other recognitions. We will also consider the company's ability to innovate on the solutions to accommodate platforms like smartphones and tablets. Note, smartphones and tablets is capitalized. All the while keeping the connection to GIS. A distinguished panel comprising of CEOs, CIOs, VCs, analysts, including CIO Review editorial board, will decide the top companies to make the list in this sector in the U.S. So apparently they were looking at a whole bunch of factors. Exactly how they were weighted or what was most important has not been shared. But this is from the actual article, which was published in July, that profiled each of the 20. Our editorial team evaluated over hundreds of solution providers and selected a handful to be profiled in the GIS special so that you can gain a comprehensive understanding of what technologies are available, which are right for you, and how they shape up against the competition. The solution providers featured in this magazine provide a look at how their products work in the real world. We believe this information will help you to market your company in a much more effective manner. And you might have heard something weird in that last one about this information will help you to market your company in a more effective manner, which is not what GIS solutions do. That sentence is actually exactly the same sentence that you'll find in the article about the 20 most promising digital marketing solutions 2014. So clearly somebody cut and pasted and didn't review. Gotta be honest, that makes me raise my eyebrows about the whole process and publication.
Suspicious? Suspect?
Maybe these folks are not as familiar with GIS or didn't spend the time. Let's leave it at that.
Sure.
So let's go on to the companies that we were less familiar with. And I'm going to start off with a company called AgData, A-G-G-D-A-T-A. Got to admit, when I first saw it, I thought it had to do with agriculture, but I've got it wrong, because ag data is short for aggregate data, which, per the company, means a set of data that is collected together in one place and is delivered in the form of a list of records where each record has details about a specific object in the group. They have examples of retail store locations or geographic country information. The company's, you know, pretty frank that sometimes it's available to the public via the internet, but what AgData does is it compiles it and makes it very easily accessible. You can buy these data files from them on a one-off basis. You can subscribe to a service, or if you need data that they don't have, they will go out and collect it for you. So why do you need to know about this company? Well, if you don't want to track down those data sets that you need, these guys may have done it already, or you can pay them and they will do it for you. GIS solution provider, well, really it's a data provider, but it falls into that broader scope of GIS. One of the things I found interesting about Ag Data is you can find a tutorial that talks about how to use its data with ArcGIS, and the example is done with ArcGIS Explorer, not ArcGIS Desktop.
Uh-huh. Well, the company, first company I want to focus on is Aegis, and it's a company actually with which I'm pretty familiar, as it's been one of our clients for conferences, but more importantly, it's homegrown here in where I live in Huntsville, Alabama. The founder, Steve Hill, is actually a graduate of the high school up the street from where I live, and we actually served on a Chamber of Commerce Technology Committee. And I spoke to Steve last week at a reception of the 25th anniversary of the company's founding, a situation which he said to me was surreal, I guess, referring to the fact that it's been 25 years and time moved a little bit more quickly for him. Their claim to fame, though, is that for the Beijing, Vancouver, and London Olympics, they created 3D building models for the stadium venues that were seen on NBC TV during the broadcast. Now, I think what's unique about the company is that they come from geospatial solutions from a very different perspective. They're mostly known for modeling in the modeling and simulation world. They do a lot of supporting warfighters and how warfighters can use modeling and sim technology. And according to Aegis, the building models for the use in the Olympics were for operational planning, and I'm quoting now, operational planning and situational awareness in preparation for and execution of the games. Well, if you read between the lines there, what it's probably more likely used for is plans for emergency situations, terrorist attacks, or whatever. At least that's my perception.
It was one of those names of companies that I've seen go by, and I really wasn't sure what it did. So that's
I think they're in a sweet spot right now because 3D building design and modeling, given what's going on in sensor placement technology, I think they're kind of in a sweet spot.
Well, here's a company that maybe isn't in that sweet spot, and maybe they're late to the party. The company is called QB3, and it makes a product called Altus. And let me explain, using their words, what this is. The BA3 Altus Mapping Engine is the best mapping engine on the planet for iOS, Android, Windows 8, OS X, and web developers. Altus will allow you and your developers to radically improve the performance and capabilities of your mapping apps. And they go through in detail the 10 most compelling features of this, quote, startling new mapping engine. Digging into it, yeah, it's another mapping engine. It has SDKs. It supports different kinds of data, including OpenStreetMap. That's written with three words. ESRI shapefiles. That's written as three words. The first one's supposed to be one word. The second one's supposed to be two words. So again, I'm a little.
Yeah. How do they get into the list?
Are you in our industry? Have you been paying attention? But I guess what QB3 is trying to argue about Altus is that it's all about performance. It does everything faster. I didn't find any data about that. I just saw that they argued that they were faster. One implementation that they talked about was that they unified silos of technology and data at a Fortune 500 company. I'm wondering, how many more mapping engines do we need? I mean, we've got a whole bunch of them. We've got open source ones, we've got commercial ones, we've got the tools from Google and Bing, and do we even need another player?
Right.
But never heard of it, so there's another option for you if you need a mapping engine.
All right, well, the next company that we're going to talk about is Tango Analytics, and Tango Analytics is actually a spinoff of Tango Management. Basically, the company offers retail site selection and other location strategies in the retail and real estate market. Jack Thompson, the chairman of Tango, is a pretty experienced guy, real estate professional. He's done stints at Ernst & Young, Deloitte, as well as Taco Bell and Boston Market. Some of his team at Tango comes from the original Thompson Associates, no relation, by the way. It's a company which was, in my mind, the leading firm in retail site selection for years.
The one that Matt Binfel bought.
Exactly, in 2003. So their reputation was pretty unmatched if you were doing site selection. Today, they're really doing very much the same type of work. What they're doing with data, predictive analytics, store lifecycle management, it's really a cut above of what it used to be when you're, when we didn't quite have the tools, I guess is what I would say. Let me explain that using predictive analytics to understand retail network management is a multi-billion-dollar endeavor. So Tango is using spatial modeling and big data to predict store sales, store location, store merchandising, and it's a case where brick and mortar retailers are really are looking for an edge. And if they can determine the optimum number of stores in a region while not cannibalizing sales, that's a huge competitive advantage.
The last company that I want to highlight is called McMahon. That's McMahon. I was founded in 1976 as a transportation engineering firm. And its product is called Tracer, which is a web-based GIS designed to help multiple users manage their assets more efficiently than ever. So it's, they do asset management, and they argue that they have this next-generation solution, and here's what makes it different from all the other asset management solutions. We believe it does more than other systems. It's far more customizable. It's easier to use. It is built with the end user in mind. Not compelling to me. This part is more interesting to me. Tracer is built on a combination of Microsoft SQL Server Spatial and ESRI ArcGIS. Both are industry standards. You also get the benefit of ESRI's ArcGIS online organization account. I think this is actually an asset management solution that's built on top of or connects to ArcGIS online. And that is interesting because of all the things that that sort of carries with it. So I'm wondering why they're not playing that up more. Otherwise, it's just yet another asset management solution.
Right.
It's very curious as to how some of these companies bubbled up to the top, because the distinguishing features and the distinguishing innovation somehow, to me, haven't percolated up.
Yeah, haven't quite been recognized. Well, the last company we're going to look at is Tenzing. Now, many of you may be familiar with Tenzing. They have been around a while, and they're in the utility asset management business, and they're fairly experienced with lots of utility asset management products, Esri, Intergraph, GE Small World. They've taken that expertise and integrated it with asset management and cloud platforms from SAP, Infor, and IBM's Maximo. Now, many years ago, in the early 90s, I actually visited their offices in a small town in the Netherlands called 's-Hertogenbosch, or Den Bosch, as the locals call it. And they were just a small team of GIS programmers. And the reason I went there was to investigate what they had done using Intergraph technology. So from that small group, they built a very successful firm and went on to establish an office in the U.S. And when I would see them at GITA, I would always try to see, okay, what are they doing now? They not only do utility asset management, now they're doing transportation and logistics and helping companies integrate work order management with their back office systems. But rather than just being a systems integrator type of company, they actually develop software that they call their Integrated Work Management Suite, or IWMS. And it's a suite of modules that perform tasks in GIS, but also routing and scheduling and mobile solutions. And because of their integration expertise and the need by utilities to understand how to work with sensor technology for developing smart grid implementations, I think you'll continue to see Tenzing exceed. So I was quite interested and surprised to see them in this list, just because, again, 20 years ago, I remember visiting them when they were a very small company.
Well, one comment I want to make in looking down the list is that it really does highlight how broad the geospatial solutions or GIS solutions marketplace is. Because on this list, we've got sort of what I consider to be sort of pure play GIS technology players like ESRI and Caliper. We've got data players like AgData. We've got image collection and image management solutions like Blackbridge and Pixia. We've got retail solutions like Galageo and Tango Analytics. We've got Cubase, which folks may not remember is the company that ended up with the part of Metacarta that extracts out the location information from unstructured text. So it really does show that sort of broad play that we really don't have. We have very few really pure play just GIS companies anymore, that people are falling into that niche. They're falling into industries. And this thing called GIS is getting less and less defined all the time.
Well, and more broadly consumed, I think is the other way to put it, is that many of these small companies are finding the utility of location technology to be a benefit to other aspects of the business world and solution solving. They're taking the tools, and many of these are coming at it from a different perspective. They're not pure play GIS companies. They're taking GIS and using it for very specific applications that just happen to use or need spatial modeling or location technology.
And maybe that's what makes them all seem innovative, especially if you're looking at this from the CIO perspective rather than from inside of the GIS world.
To me, this speaks to a very important thing. It is becoming more, not accepted, that's not the right word, but it's becoming more pervasive in CIO, in enterprise systems. This is where we want GIS to go. This is where it belongs. It needs to step out of the niche, behind the back, you know, get out of the back room and into becoming more of a solution for more and more people.
So are lists like this valuable for the CIO?
Well, that's a really good question, because I don't know whether we've identified why these 20 companies were identified versus others. I would say that it is of some value, and if for no other reason, it may illuminate companies that are not top of mind. So certainly Esri is in that list, and Trimble's in that list, but and many of the, maybe the CIOs are familiar with them because they're very large companies. But it does help them, I think, look beyond the accepted solution providers.
Well, that's all the time we have for today.
And from us here at Directions Magazine, we have some very informative webinars coming up, the first of which will be tomorrow, on the legal implications of using drones for commercial use, and that will be on August 27th. Take a look at our entire list of webinars coming up in September and the next few months. For details, go to directionsmag.com/webinars.
If you'd like to comment on today's podcast, you can reach us at editors@directionsmag.com. You can send us a tweet @directionsmag, or you can leave us a comment where this podcast is posted @directionsmagazine. Thanks for joining us, and be sure to tell a friend.